Holy One in the presence of Jesus this morning, because that's an absolute promise of Jesus. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we welcome the Lord Jesus here today, and it's wonderful to know that he's here with us, and wonderful to see the mum and baby then giving thanks to God through his people praying. What a privilege to be able to pray for people and see God move through our prayers. So let's just pray before I speak. Father, thank you for the absolute promise that Jesus is here with us. Thank you that you are the Holy One. Thank you that you are everything that we're not, and yet you love us, and you're changing us from one degree of glory to the next, because you love us so much and you're making us like your own Son. So this morning, Father, through our prayers and our singing and our fellowship together, listening to your word, seeing your work done in other countries, we just invite you, Father, to move in our hearts, to change us, to love us, to encourage us, to confront us at times. But we know you're a Father that loves us. So move us on in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's wonderful to be here. And those of you who don't know me, I'm Nick Callan from the Leprosy Mission. What a funny story, or what a funny topic to be talking about on a Sunday, leprosy. Because shouldn't it have been wiped out? Shouldn't it have been wiped out in the world? It's been wiped out in our own nation, and our own Europe, the whole of Europe since the Middle Ages. And you know, leprosy is a disease. It's still rife throughout the world. About 3.5 million people suffer from this disease. And I'm going to show you some slides later on of a trip this time last year my wife and I did to India, just to see the work of the Leprosy Mission, and actually to see how your donations and your generosity and prayers transform people's lives. But going back to this disease, it's been wiped out in our nation, and say in Europe since the Middle Ages, for a number of reasons, mainly three reasons. First of all, we've got good nutrition and enough to eat. Secondly, we've got clean drinking water. And thirdly, we've got good sanitation, we've got flushing loos. Because leprosy is a germ, it's a very weak bacteria. It's not a strong disease, it's a mildly infectious disease. It's the least catching of all infectious diseases. You can't catch it by touch. It's passed by coughing and sneezing. It's a bacteria. But you know, it only attacks 5% of the world's population. 5%. That 5% have lived for centuries the opposite way to us. For centuries they've had poor nutrition, poor diets. They've had poor drinking water and poor sanitation. And it's made their immune system pretty weak. Do you know the 95% of the other people, include us in this room, we are naturally immune from leprosy. We can't catch it. So when I was sat on people's beds in hospitals in India last year, when we were hugging and kissing them, when we're in and out of people's houses, we knew we couldn't catch it. It's a cruel disease that picks out the poorest of the poor, because it is a disease of poverty. And yet it's absolutely curable. It costs about £20 to cure a person. And I brought the cure with me today. Do you want to see it? You can pass it around. That's 2/3 of the cure. So leprosy is cured by 3 very strong antibiotics. And the person takes them between 6 months and 12 months. Their immune system is built up. Leprosy is dead within 48 hours in their body. The bacteria is dead, 48 hours. But you know when a doctor or a nurse, Helen, says to us, complete the dose, that's to build our immune system up. So a leprosy patient would need to take these for 6 months at least, or 12 months maximum, to build their immune system up. So that's 2/3. The other third fell off in my bag. So, do you know what's also incredible about this as well is that the drug company Novartis give these drugs free throughout the world, which is incredible. So we've got a drug company with a real heart for people. There's probably another story behind that somewhere, but we know at least at the moment they're giving the drugs free. So I'm going to start with my little PowerPoint show, and then I'm going to bring in God's word in between this. It takes a while to warm up, just like myself on these cold days. Again, starting by thanking you here at Roman Road for being partners with the Leprosy Mission, because we can't do what we do in amongst the poorest of the poor without you. And for that, we really do humbly thank you. And I put there bringing love, mercy and hope to people. We can bring the cure for leprosy. We can bring the care for leprosy. But we need to bring people love, mercy and hope into their lives. This is a quote from Mother Teresa, who, while she wasn't a saint, or she's probably going to be made a saint one of these days, while she wasn't perfect, she knew a thing or two about hunger and poverty. But when she was talking about leprosy, these were her words: being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody. I think that's a much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat. She understood that leprosy takes away people's hope, it takes away their community, because people want to push people with leprosy away. Communities push people out, mum, dad, auntie, uncle, grandma, granddad. They're pushed away from people, and it takes away their hope, it takes away their dignity, and most of all, it takes away their love, because they're unloved. They're called unlovable, the unloved. In some cultures, they're still called the living dead. They're pronounced dead. We did it in our own society in the Middle Ages. The Catholic Church, and I'm not blaming them this morning, they had an excommunication service for people with leprosy, and people were made to stand in an open coffin and declared the living dead. We did it in our own country. Get that back on. Struggling. We'll get that back on. I thought it was thunder. If I was coming into Failsworth this morning in the Middle Ages, is that working yet? Get back on. Stay. If I was coming into Failsworth in the Middle Ages and I had leprosy, you'd know I was coming, because as I crossed over the border with Failsworth and wherever we are, Oldham next, I'd have to tell you I was here. I'd have a bell round my neck. I'd have a clapper. I'd have a hood that covered my face, a black hood, so I couldn't breathe on you. And I'd have to shout out, unclean, unclean, so you wouldn't come near me. That's because our ancestors thought leprosy was highly contagious, and it isn't. We can forgive them. They didn't know the truth. The truth had only been available for less than 100 years, that leprosy isn't highly contagious. But that's the way people were treated in our country. And you know, it's still the way people like these people we met in India are still being treated today. The Hindu religion says that leprosy is a curse from God. And you catch leprosy for one reason: you're a dreadful sinner. So you've caught leprosy, Nick Calland in India, because you're worse than me. You're doing something dreadful in private that we don't know about, but God's cursed you. And then the religion also says that you can't help me if I have leprosy, because you're undoing God's work. So you see how cruel it is. And I can tell you categorically, on behalf of God this morning, that our God is not a God who curses us with disease. He's a God who heals. And Jesus, one of his titles is Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. I'm not here to attack another religion just to say that they're wrong this morning. They treat people cruelly when people are told it's a curse from God and therefore we're not helping you. I put at the top there, we're more than a label. In this room, we are more than a label, and yet society would want to label us, and we label each other. We label each other. We can think of the labels that we put on people, or maybe somebody's put on us. The young, the old, the elderly, the infirm, the mentally ill, the drinkers, the drugs, the homosexuals, the immigrants, the this, the that. And when we label people, it allows people to treat us differently, and we start to treat people differently. We start to lump people together instead of being individuals created in the image of God. Instead of people that, you know, when God so loved the world that he sent his only son, God so loved the world, everybody is included in that world. Yes, we have to turn to Jesus in repentance. He's the only way to the Father, but we mustn't exclude people. We mustn't exclude people who we feel are different than us, who we think that God doesn't love. That's not what God says to us. Those people there in that picture, these are people my wife and I met. At one time they had labels attached to their lives, something like this: mother, father, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, grandma, granddad. And all of a sudden, because of a disease, they've been given a new label to wear, and it's one that says this: leper. As soon as that label's attached to somebody, the whole world is changed and people treat them differently and treat them very cruelly. Our story, the leprosy mission, began 140 years ago this very year. A young Irishman, there's his name, Wellesley Bailey. He set sail from Dublin to India to seek his fortune. His brother was a policeman in the British police force and had got him a job. He couldn't find work in Dublin. He got him a job as a policeman. Wellesley Bailey was going to work as a policeman in India, save his money, and then go gold prospecting. That was what his ambition was. But you know, God had a different plan for him. And because of God's plan for him, literally, millions of people's lives throughout the world have been changed. Because when he got to India, he lodged with a German Presbyterian minister who'd opened up his home to people with leprosy against the wishes of the town of Ambala in India. The town said people with leprosy belong on the rubbish tip, on the town dump, where for centuries they've lived. We don't want them in our town. And that German minister said, no, I'm having them in my house. And it touched that young Irishman's heart. He hadn't seen leprosy in Ireland, and he was fascinated by, first of all, about the disease, but by why, the way people were being treated. He was a young Christian, a young convert to Jesus. He wasn't a theologian. He wasn't a man of the word of God at this time. He was a man, a young man with a heart. And though they were his words there, if ever there was a Christ-like work, it was to go amongst these poor sufferers and bring them the consolation of the gospel. And this was before the cure for leprosy, before the operations we can do, before the care we can do. Is that me again? No, it's not me again. It's before all these things we can do. Quite simply, he wanted to do this. He wanted to go to people who were told that they were unloved, unlovable, and actually less than an animal. That's what they were being told. Animals have more rights than you have. He wanted to say to them, no, there is a God that loves you. You are loved by God. The message of the gospel. And you know, that's the same message that we take out 140 years later. Our main message is to say to people, we love you and we're going to serve you. We don't care what religion you are. We don't care what you believe, but we love you because there's a God that loves you. The same message that we take out today. The story from Scripture I'd like to bring to you this morning is an amazing story. I absolutely love this chapter, this little episode in Jesus' life. It's Luke 17, beginning to read at verse 11. And it's a story of 10 men healed of leprosy. I remember at Sunday school being taught this years ago. And I always remember that the Sunday school teacher emphasised the fact that out of 10 men who were healed, only one came back to say thank you to Jesus. That's the main thrust that people bring out of this story. And that's a great thrust. But actually, there's so much in these few short verses that to me it's just an incredible episode of the kingdom of God coming in power through the love and mercy of Jesus. And it starts like this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus entered into a village. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And some translations say, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One man, when he saw he was healed, stopped. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were not 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Was only one man found to give praise to God, and this man a foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. That's an amazing story because it starts with the words, now on his way to Jerusalem. We've heard today about the sacrifice that people made for us, the sacrifice that generations have made for us during all the wars. And we praise God and we remember people who gave their lives to fight for freedom. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now on his way to Jerusalem. This was Jesus on his way for the ultimate sacrifice. This was Jesus going to Jerusalem to die in our place. To die in our place as a substitute for us. And he chose to walk the border between Samaria and Galilee. Theologians and people who study geography would say Jerusalem was almost that way, and yet he chose to go that way. And we don't know why he chose a detour between Samaria and Galilee, because the borders of countries were always places of danger. The borders of countries were always a place where there were people who'd been displaced, there were people of robbers, and there were the sick, there were people here, and the people doing this, and people doing that. There weren't safe places on the borders. And do you know, if we look at today, the borders of our lives, Let's think about the war in Syria at the moment. I think there's five countries that surround Syria. I'm on the borders of Syria because of the war. There are millions, literally millions of people who've been displaced. So they can't go back. The houses have been bombed or it's too dangerous. They can't go forward. There's no room for them. And the battle that's going on for Kobani at the moment on the border of Syria and Turkey, there's estimated 10,500 people who've been pushed onto the border of Turkey. They can't go forward. Turkey have got no room for them. They're in tents. They can't go back. They'll be murdered. They're stuffed on the borders. It's still happening today. Because of war, it displaces people and pushes them onto the borders. And do you know, in our own society, there are people on the borders of our society now. You may even be in this room feeling that you're on the border. You're on the edge. You've been pushed out. Again, we label people, the elderly, the lonely, the mentally ill, the drinkers, the drug addicts, unmarried mums, the immigrants, the this, the that. We might not see the borders, might not be able to see them, but they're there, and we've pushed them. We've pushed them. We've pushed them out there. And you know, Jesus has a heart for people on the borders. Yes, his heart is for us in this room, but we must be looking out for people who feel on the borders. Looking out for people who've been displaced. Looking out for people who don't feel loved. Looking out for people who don't have a hope. Looking out for people who've got nowhere else to go. We might not see it, but they're there. And we're really needed just to bring a smile to somebody. We're really needed just to make a cup of tea for somebody. Just to welcome somebody. Just to be at peace with somebody. It's not always about hitting them on the head with the Bible. It's never about that, is it really? But there is power in the Word of God, and praise God for evangelists who bring the Word of God to bring people in. But our job is to love people into the kingdom. And I'm going to show you a bit more about this. 10 men with leprosy, as Jesus went into this village, met him. That's what it says. They met him. They started this conversation. It's wonderful to know that this morning. And you know, when Jesus went into a village, there'd be 12 people with him at least. The disciples were always with him. And we know there were people who followed the disciples, particularly women, who served them. Whenever Jesus went into a village, there was a clamour for his attention. We see this in the incidents of the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment. And it says Jesus felt power go out of him. And he said, "Somebody touched me." And the disciples laughed at him. They said, "What do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you. They're all pushing at you." But he knew. He knew that one person. There was always a clamour for his attention. People would want to know when Jesus came into a village. Who is it? What's this noise about? It'd be the religious leaders of the day wanted to see Jesus to trip him up. They wanted to trap him in his words. They wanted to point out, look at him, he's eating with drunkards and sinners. He can't be holy, holy man. Look at him. Those people were there. There were people who wanted to see miracles, and who wouldn't? There were people who needed to see miracles. There was a clamour for his attention. And yet, as he entered into this town or village, 10 men with leprosy called out to him from a distance where they've always been kept. The book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus in the Old Testament is very clear. People with leprosy were to be kept outside of the city walls. They weren't allowed into towns. So they were there because that's what the book of the law said. Like the way we treated people, we put people in leprosy colonies, and they still do today. 10 men with leprosy, in amongst that noise, calling out to Jesus. Look at the words they used. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They knew his name. Why did they know his name? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I've got a theory. Because earlier on in Luke, a man with leprosy did something terrible. He broke the law terribly, this terrible man. He stepped across the border of where he should be, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine what people must have thought? How dare you, you unclean man, coming near Jesus? How dare you? This man was so desperate, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And he said, "Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Everybody else says I'm dirty and I'm unclean. You can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing." He touched the man and said, "Be clean." Now, there's two men there who broke the law. The one man who shouldn't have crossed the road anywhere near Jesus. And Jesus should not have touched the man. Not according to the law. But you know, Jesus' heart is above the law. Actually, he is the law. He is the law. The whole of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. It's all about him. It's him. Life is about him. The world is about him. He had compassion on that man who wanted to be clean. He had compassion on him and he touched him. And, you know, a holy man touching a leper. That's probably what these men had heard. There's a man called Jesus who actually touched the man with leprosy and healed him. They called out from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They didn't call out for healing. They didn't call out for money. They didn't call out for food. They didn't call out to win the lottery or whatever people call out to Jesus for. They wanted mercy because nobody else showed them mercy. They were treated mercilessly, piteously. They were just kept away from their families and everybody else. They just wanted somebody to show them mercy. And Jesus said to them, he said, when Jesus saw them, he looked at them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Why did he say that? Well, again, the books of the law, Deuteronomy, Leviticus said, if a man is made clean from leprosy or any other disease, he had to go to the priest. The priest was the only one who could declare a man clean or unclean, healed or unhealed. Now, leprosy attacks the nerve endings in your fingers and toes, sides of your face, and turns your skin a slightly different colour, so there'd be patches on your skin, and they would be numb. There'd be numbness there. And if you felt you were clean from leprosy, you'd go to the priest and say, "I think I'm clear from leprosy." And he'd stab you. He'd stab you with a pin, sometimes with a little dagger. He'd stab you in the plate. And if you squealed, he knew you were healed. You've got your feeling back. If you didn't squeal, he'd say, "Sorry, you're still unclean, go away." So these men were sent to the high priest to determine whether they were clean or not. And it says that as they went, they were clean, they were healed. As they went, that's the message for us this morning. There's two messages already for us this morning. There's one of them is this. In amongst the clamour when these men called out to Jesus, he heard them. Whatever's going on in our lives, whatever painfulness is going on in our lives, whether it's fear of today or fear of the future, regret for the past, things we've done, things done to us in the past, we have a Saviour Jesus who is the same yesterday, today and forever, that when we call out to him, he hears us. Isn't that wonderful to know? All we have to do is call out to him and he'll walk through the problems with us. Sometimes he'll take us out of the problem. Sometimes he'll take the problem out of us. But in my experience, he walks through it with us because he's building character into us. He's building character into us. So please, this morning, whatever's going on in our lives, whether it's our family, whether it's our finances, our health, we can call out to Jesus because he can hear us. He wants us to call out to him. And he has the power to change. Power to change us. Secondly, the message today, I believe, is for us. That scripture says, when Jesus gave them the command, "Go and show yourself to the priests," if they'd have stood still, nothing would have happened. But the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. The word of God, and this is only the New Testament, this is only the dagger, it's not the full sword of the word of God. The promises in here from God to us are always amen and yes in Jesus, but we have to access them in faith. We have to step into them. The promises are for us as Christians, the promises are for us, but we have to take that step. We have to step into the promises. We have to access them through faith like these men. If they said, if they just stayed still, nothing would have happened. As they went, they were cleansed. And then that one man, how amazing, that one man, when he saw he was healed, stopped. And he gave praise, and praising God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says twice about who he was, a Samaritan. Well, do you know Samaritans had Israeli blood in them, Jewish blood in them, and Gentile blood in them? They were half-breeds, they were called. They were half-castes, they were called. They were actually called mongrel dogs by the Jews. Mongrels. They weren't thoroughbreds, they were mongrels. That's what the Jews called them. And yet this one man, when he saw he was healed, it says, praising God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet. This foreigner, this mongrel dog, had a revelation of who Jesus is. This isn't just a holy man. This is God the Son. He praised God in a loud voice. He had a revelation in his heart of who Jesus is. How wonderful that was for him. And Jesus was actually shocked, wasn't he? Where are the other nine? There's no one found to praise God except this foreigner. Jesus was quite surprised at it. But you know, it's wonderful to know that this one man had that revelation that we can have in our hearts when we stop and think of who Jesus is. He's not just a great man. He's not just a holy man. He's not just a prophet. He's God the Son. The reformer Martin Luther, the great reformer Martin Luther, was asked a question. What is true religion? And he said, the 10th man with leprosy. That's true religion. When we realise what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we have to stop and thank him. We have to praise him. We have to have a life of worshipping him and praising him. My favourite hymn is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I know it's a very old-fashioned one these days, but there's a line in it that says, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. On the cross at Calvary, we were ransomed by Jesus. He paid the price for us. He bought each one of us. He paid just a price on our heads, and he paid it. He bought us. He bought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God. He's bought us. He owns us. He's bought us out. Isn't that wonderful? He bought our freedom, ransomed, healed. Scripture tells us by his stripes, by the whip marks on his back, we are healed. We access that by faith. Restored a relationship with the God that loves us, with the Father that absolutely dotes over us this morning. The book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty God who saves. He rejoices over you with singing. Do you ever thought about God the Father singing over you? Like a father singing over his child in a cot. How wonderful is that? Ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. All our sins, everything we've done in the past, everything we've done today, everything done in the future, forgiven by God through what Jesus did on the cross. Isn't that wonderful to know today? So that one man teaches us a way of worshipping God, a lifestyle of worshipping Jesus for what he's done. I'd like to show you a story of 10 people my wife Jean and I met in India last year. This is another 10 people who've met Jesus, met God through the work of the leprosy mission. And again, they put a note up there at the top. They had all those titles I mentioned before, and leprosy has changed their lives. These stories you're going to see now briefly are stories of real hope. People who are feeling despair, rejected, and suddenly they've found a world that loves them through people that love them. There's a man under that blanket. This is a hospital in Calcutta that Jean and I stayed at for 5 days. We stayed at this hospital in a ward upstairs. We had a ward to ourselves upstairs. And we became part of the hospital for 5 days with the patients and with the staff. It was a wonderful place to live. This is him. This is Nithiba Rehewa, age 25. He was born blind. And you can see his fingers are pretty stiff. That's because leprosy has set into his fingers and it causes numbness. And it would take all the feeling away from your fingers. If left untreated, his hand will go into a stump like this. Sorry, his hand go into a claw like this. And over a period of time, his bones would be absorbed into his body and he'd have stumps. Calcification would set in. He's born blind. He has stiffness in his fingers and he's feeling pretty ill. Now, his mum's a penniless widow and she's brought him to the hospital. That's her on the right, Sister Polly on the left. Very frightened for this boy. He's feeling very ill because it's actually diabetes. We determined it's diabetes. And we can bring the diabetes under control. We can actually save his hands because we can give him the multi-drug therapy, the antibiotics. And with physiotherapy, his hands, we can get his hands moving again. We can't give him his sight back. He's born blind. We've now put a package into place in his village where our people have been back to the village where they live to talk to the villagers. The villagers have taken them back. So we want to educate people. We try and educate villages saying, please don't throw people away. This is the truth about leprosy. It's not contagious. We'll help the village. And there's also a financial package in place for mum to live and to have a future. And again, she was taken from a lady who was absolutely despairing to somebody over a period of time, was given a lot of hope. The same hospital, Aminal Sarkar. That's his brother with him. No, it looks like a doctor, but it's his brother. Top of his legs, you can see it bandaged. He had carcinoma in his thighs, which is quite unusual. Went to the state hospital and they treated him, and we believe they treated him successfully for that. Lower down his leg, he has a leprosy-induced wound, which has gone septic, and it was in its first stages of gangrene. Do you know he was discharged from the state hospital with that wound because he'd run out of money? He had no money to pay for it, so they just said, well, there's nothing we can do, off you go. And he's come to us. We've saved his leg. He won't lose his leg. The danger was he would lose his leg. To pay for his cancer treatment, they'd sold most of the animals on the farm. They had very little left to pay for that treatment. You see, it's a terrible plight in some countries when it depends on money, whether you're going to get treatment or not. My second name is Kaland, and this is Kalandi. I'm sure we're related somewhere along the line. Now, Habu is living in one of our mercy homes. Our mercy homes are attached to all our hospitals throughout the 38 countries we work in and our clinics. And it's where the elderly who've been displaced, and that word displaced just means the families don't want them. We've got leprosy, so we don't want you. And Habu is living with, there's 48 residents in this place. He's blind in both eyes through leprosy, because leprosy attacks the blink muscles, particularly at the side of your eyes. And if you can't blink, there's no moisture coming into your eyes, you can't get dirt out of it, you sleep with your eyes open, soon become cataracted, and actually quite soon become blind. And you can see he's got stumps for fingers and toes. We might look at him, I'm sure we don't, but people might look at him and say, you've not got a lot going for you. But he would say, actually, I've got fullness of life. I found a place where I'm absolutely accepted and loved. I have dignity, I have a community, I can pray and praise God, and he's a fantastically joyful man, a wonderful man to be with. As this lady is, Rupa Banerjee, they're terrible words though, aren't they? I have a family, but they don't want me. Diagnosed with leprosy, husband didn't want her, kicked her out, and family didn't want her, and she's come to live with us. She's blind in one eye through leprosy, she has leprosy in two hands and one leg, one foot, and she has an amputation below the knee in the other because she had a stone in her sandal. No feeling in her foot because of leprosy. She'd walked on it for months. It became an ulcer, became gangrene, and she's lost a leg. Very common. I'm glad you mentioned the Bible Society before. She is actually a Bible Society trained Bible teacher. She's a great singing voice, and she runs Bible studies at this mercy home. And she's telling us that people of all religion come into this home because we don't ask a question about what people believe. We just treat people as people and we allow God to do the rest of the work. And she tells us that there are Hindus, Muslims, Sikh and Jain, a religion called Jain, which is an offshoot of Hinduism, that come into this home. And people are loved into the kingdom of God. She said it's a fantastic, it's an evangelistic place where all they do is love people and accept people. And people turn to Jesus because they come to all the worship and all the Bible studies, etc. So wonderful, wonderful to know that it's about people finding the love of God. It's about nothing else other than that. Suku Mahatu is in another mercy home. This is Purulia in West Bengal. She's been there for 30 years. And again, she's quite a fiery character with a temper. But she's a lovely lady that we met. This is Rahobala in the same home. Her story is this. She was diagnosed with leprosy. Her husband beat her and threw her out. The villagers then said, you have to leave here. We don't want you. And when she wouldn't go, they came after her with a murder squad. Right, they came to kill her with knives and machetes. And she had to run for her life. This day and age, it's shocking, really. But again, there's 12 ladies live here. And they love living here. But that's the conditions they live in. And it's not acceptable. One of the reasons I was sent to this hospital. The hospital itself is fine. It's very old-fashioned, but the operating theatres and everything in it works, and it's a very successful, very, very busy hospital. But this part of it, the Mersey home, is not acceptable. And I had to do a full report on it. And after that, the Leprosy Mission is a wonderful organisation, but we still have to fight ourselves. We have to argue our point for money. So my colleague who came last year has just come back from Mozambique. James has just been to Mozambique. So the next project meeting we'll have, he'll be saying, we need money for Mozambique. And I said, no, we need money. So there's all this going on. It's very nicely done, but you still have to push your points. My boss has since been out to this place after my report, and I'm glad to say we've got a package in place to make it more acceptable for people to live in. So I'm pleased that it wasn't just fact-finding I was out doing, but it was actually making a point that we'd actually need to help people a bit more. Now, this is one of my favourite men. He's got the best ears I've ever seen, Paltu. I'll just show you the second picture first. About 25 years ago, he thinks, he can't remember the exact dates, he's lost toes through leprosy. And when he retired at the age of 66, something like that, he'd let himself go. He was a hospital porter in a state hospital. And he's, in own words, he let himself go. And he's feeling very ill. And instead of going to the state hospital, he's come back to us where he was treated all those years ago because he thought it was leprosy. And actually, again, it's diabetes he's got. And he's an amazing man. He's dressed in orange because he's a Hindu priest. And we spent an afternoon sat on his bed with an interpreter. He's a very gentle person, a lovely spoken man. And he's telling us stories of him growing up in West Bengal as a child, chasing tigers and as a lovely, lovely man. And he said to Jean and myself, I know that you are Christians. So he said, how do you know that? And he said, because you love people. And I said, well, don't you love people? And he said, not in the way you do. He said, all those years ago coming here, people loved me. He said, and he said, I've come back here and it's different staff, but they're the same as the other staff. They just love me. And I said, why do you think that is? And he smiled and he said, I know about Jesus. So I said, what do you know about Jesus? And he said, Jesus was a great man and a great prophet. And then he smiled again and he said, I know what you're going to say next. So I said, what am I going to say? And he said, you're going to say that Jesus is God's son. And I said, yes, he is. And he said these words, I haven't quite accepted that yet, but I'm on a journey. Would you pray for me? And he wanted us to pray for him. And I was thinking, I'd love to be able to say to you, and the power of the Spirit came on him and he fell. But it's just the fact that this man is recognizing there's a different kind of love in operation. And I just believe that he will be saved. I believe that he is on that journey. I'll whiz through. This episode was in Tamil Nadu, and I don't know why I'm laughing, because the night before we travelled to Tamil Nadu, they moved us from the hospital to a backpacker's hostel by the airport, because we were flying early in the morning. A car came for us at 3:30 in the morning and took us to Calcutta Airport. We flew 4.5 hours to Chennai in the south, and then a car picked us up and had a big sign saying leprosy mission. These two men took our bags and put them in the jeep. And we said, is it very far? And he said, 6.5 hours. And they drove us another 6.5 hours into Tamil Nadu. And this was the next day. They took us into the interior of Tamil Nadu. It's a massive state, Tamil Nadu, in the south. It's got its own language, its own alphabet. And people have got darker skins there. And this gentleman, about 3 years ago, our teams go out on bicycles into the villages to do leprosy screening. And they have a doctor with them, and in his saddlebags he has the multi-drug therapy, the antibiotics. And this man came forward because he said, these are the signs of leprosy, tingling in your fingers, numbness, discoloration, signs of your face, come forward. And he came forward and diagnosed with leprosy by the doctor. He's a day labourer on the farms. There's plenty of work around here. The farmland is incredible with paddy fields and banana plantations. A lot of work. So he gets paid by the day. And he was worried about losing his job, but leprosy was caught very early and he's totally cured of leprosy. He then came back to see us and said, I want to do something for other people. So he's now trained as an advocate on behalf of people with leprosy and disability. In his spare time, he has a team of people from the villages that go into other villages, just helping people with disability and leprosy. A wonderful man. By the way, his wife tells us she was married at 13. That's their culture. 13 years old. This is another part of Tamil Nadu on the coast. This is Moran and his wife. They're making lampshades there. Moran's actually quite a skilled welder, which is part of the story. He's not got leprosy, Moran, but he's paralysed below the waist, and we think it's polio. We couldn't quite understand the interpreter in us. We couldn't quite get the right words. We're not sure why he was paralysed from birth. He's got very broad shoulders because when he was a little boy, when he was very young, his father's got a welding shack, and he fixes bicycles, motorbikes, farm equipment. And he made him a little truck with wheels so he could play with kids. And as he's got older, his truck's got bigger. So he's got like wheelchair wheels, and he can steer it. It's still, you know, self-propelled. But nothing stops this man. Nothing stops him in life. His father taught him to weld, but he has to be lifted onto a welding bench, and all his equipment is at arm's reach. But he makes a living, pays his own way for everything. And he came to us and wanted to do something again for society. Hello. Hello. I'm just telling the story about this man here. So he paid his own way, and he came at one of our meetings and said, I want to help other people. And again, he's been trained as an advocate on behalf of people with disability and leprosy. Works for us for nothing. He's a volunteer, but an amazing young man. He has two ambitions in life. One is for his two little children to get jobs when they leave school. And secondly, for his roof to stay on. So, hello. Hello. So he said he'd love his roof to stay on. And we said, why do you say that? And he said, 5 years ago, the tsunami ripped his roof off. 2.5 years later, a cyclone ripped it off. And he said, while I'm not complaining, because I can't do it myself, I have to wait till everybody else fixes their own roofs before they do mine. And I thought, that's not a lot to ask for in life, is it really? And then finally, the last of the ten is this young lady sitting down here. This is Tumpa Kumri, and in blue. And she's aged 18. She's probably 19 now. On the left is the doctor, and in the middle is her brother. Is her uncle. And Jean and I were in this clinic. This is the assessment clinic at Purulia Hospital in West Bengal when this girl came in, and we saw the story from start to finish. It's an amazing story. It started with this girl falling off her bike. Now, she lives about 3.5 hours by train away. She fell off her bicycle and she fractured her elbow socket. So she was taken to the local hospital and they said, yeah, they've x-rayed her, you've fractured your elbow socket. We're going to put it in a sling for about 2 months and it'll be healed. By the way, what's that discoloration on your skin? And she said, I don't know, it's just a different coloured patch. Have you got any loss of feeling on your body at all? She said, I've had pins and needles in my little finger. And they said to her, that's leprosy. The first thing she thought of, a girl of 18, was this: I will never get married. Do you know leprosy is grounds for divorce in India? It's on the statute books. You can divorce, husband can divorce wife can divorce husband. So she was fearful, I'll never get married. Secondly, she had 8 months to go at school, and she said, I'll never finish my schoolwork. They'll take me out of school because a lot of the states in India remove children if they have leprosy, or even if there's leprosy in the family. And as a granddad these days, it's very sad to know that if I was in India, my two grandchildren might never have an education because granddad or grandma's got leprosy. So there were two fears that she had: marriage, and I'm not going to never finish my qualifications. You don't get your qualifications, you don't get your job, and you don't get any income, and you're just left. So she'd had to wait three or four months, before she got an appointment with us. She travelled a long way by train with her uncle, because I won't say too much at the moment, but this part of West Bengal, has been some dreadful things have happened this year. There's been girls murdered, and it shocked India. I won't say any more than that, because it's kids. But this is part of India where it's not safe for a girl or woman to be out during the day, never mind the night. So her uncle's come with her. She's come into the clinic, and the doctor introduced us to them. We were sat across the clinic. And the first thing he did was to blindfold her, to put a blindfold on her face. And then out of his pocket, he got aluminium tube, like a pen, and it's got a piece of fishing line coming off it. And what they do is test the joints, the three joints on your thumbs and your fingers, to see where leprosy spread. If the other hospital said it's leprosy, he wants to know how far it's spread. So they'll start there and say, where am I touching you? Point to it, and she'll say there. Then he'll try and trick her to say, you know, so she's not probably touch her there. And after 20 minutes, he said, in all my experience, I can categorically tell you that leprosy hasn't spread. You'll start on the antibiotics today. Within 6 months, you'll be totally clear of leprosy. And the girl just changed her face to that. We just thought, what a wonderful story to see, that almost something lifted from this girl. You know, it's almost scriptural, isn't it? From despair, God takes us from despair into hope. And we saw that happen. And that's because of your generosity. So we really thank you. So just finishing, 10 people say, please help us. The first way we'd ask you to help us is to pray. We're a very prayerful organisation. We give up the first hour of the day throughout the leprosy mission world is prayer and devotion. So in India, it was 8 o'clock till 9. Peterborough, our head office here in England, is 9 o'clock till 10. And because we have offices in Australia, etc., we know 24 hours a day we're praying for the work. So we'd encourage you, please, to pray for us. And this is that young Irishman I mentioned before in his later years, and with his wife, Alice. Do you know when he got the call from God in India? He sailed back. He'd only just got there. He sailed back from India to Dublin. He got Alice, his fiancée, took her back. They married in Bombay Cathedral. And so he said, and actually, they saved £90. They got £90 in it in Ireland to start their mission. That's what they went with. And all these years later, it's incredible. But at the top there, he said these words: the mission was birthed in prayer, cradled in prayer, and nurtured in prayer. So we're very prayerful, and we really thank you for your prayers and encourage you. We've got great literature these days knocking about. I've got some with me. Different ways of collecting, new collection boxes on the way, direct debits, etc. Gifts for Life catalogue, if you wanted to buy something special for somebody. I don't know if I told you last time, but my daughter a few years ago gave me an envelope at Christmas and said, Dad, I'm sick of buying you WH Smith vouchers. And I like them. I get my watercolour paints from them, but she bought me a goat. And I really thought it was... I thought she'd actually bought me, and I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do with a goat? Because she has hens and things. But it was a goat. It was Christian Aid, and it was a goat for a village in Angola. And you could go on the back of the envelope, on the back of the picture, to trace the village that the goat went to. And I thought that was really good. But this is a similar thing, where we start at £10 with bandages for a hospital for a month and go up to £800, £900 for a low-cost house. Please have a look at those. And then what else have we got? Fundraising ideas, booklets. Some of you ladies may, or some of you men may have read the book, The Island. We do trips every year now to Islands of Spinalonga. Briefly, it's an island off Crete in Greece, and it was the last leprosy colony in Europe. So people in Greece and the islands, if they had leprosy, were put on this island with their families. And there was churches, two churches there, I think. There was a bar, there was schools, hairdressers, everything you could wish for a normal life with your family, apart from one thing. You could never leave it. And if you tried to get off the island, and actually you could swim to Crete, I believe, it's not that far. If you tried to get off, there were guards that shot you dead. So that's the way we treated people with leprosy. But it's a great book. Have you? Oh, that's lovely. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you for that. That's lovely. Meeting on a Plate is a booklet that I have with everything you'd need to put on a midweek meeting. It's got a DVD in it that lasts 2.5 minutes. And it's important that it's 2.5 minutes. It tells a story of leprosy, because every 2 minutes, somewhere in the world, somebody is told they've got leprosy. And every 24 minutes, a child is told they've got leprosy. So while I've been speaking, a child has been diagnosed somewhere in the world with leprosy. We're nearly finished. It's November, so it must be Christmas. We've got Christmas cards for sale, etc. We're still looking for volunteers. If you wanted to think about being a volunteer local speaker for us, we will train you. Got all the equipment you would need. Please come and see me later on. World Leprosy Day is always the last Sunday in January. The stuff should be coming out any minute now for that. Churches Together, if you're part of Churches Together, I'd like to talk to you about getting something a bit bigger going here. Not something bigger, but you know what I mean. This is the final slide, really. And this is the quote there from the script, from Scripture, is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it's a fantastic parable where at the end days, people are separated into sheep and the goats. And the father says to a group of people, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed, etc. And the person said, well, when did we ever see you like this? We never saw you like that. And he said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did for me. And we know that when we serve people, even in our own community, we're actually serving Jesus when we serve people. So my thoughts today for you is to say thank you so much for being part of everything that we do. You're very much partners with us. And I hope you've enjoyed seeing the fact that you have actually transformed those people's lives through your generosity and prayers. So thank you for listening. God bless. Thank you.
They don't want them to live with them anymore. So that's very sad. But Jesus loves everybody, no matter what's wrong with them, even if they look funny and don't talk like we do. He still loves them, and he can heal them and make them better. So you tell us what you've been doing, and then we'll all sing together.
May the grace of God, of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.